Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Been talking about the Raiders this morning and Antonio Brown. And yes, this is one of the reasons why I like Hard Knocks. Listen, the Raiders were the team. I know there's a whole bunch of criteria in terms of picking a team that gets to have cameras following them around. And for the most part, no one really likes it. It's a little bit too much inside information for a lot of coaches who are paranoid anyway at that sort of thing. But anyway, it's been popular for the league. It's been good for HBO. But of all the teams that you wanted, it was the Raiders because of the John Gruden factor, because of a dysfunctionality factor. And now this Antonio Brown story makes for great reality television. But there is an underlying problem with this story, and that is I really do believe Antonio Brown needs somebody in his life to sit him down and tell him exactly what is going on and exactly how this is being perceived, because he does not care. And he has to have somebody to say, there are some real-world consequences for your silliness here over this helmet. Now, just to reiterate, he wants to use a helmet that is 10 years old. It's older than 10 years, I should say, that the league is now saying you can't use for safety reasons. There are new helmets. Technology and helmets have gotten better. And the league has mandated that everyone will be moving over to this new helmet. And they have given these players plenty of time to make the adjustments. They would eventually phase these helmets out. You could get 1 year grandfathered in. Antonio Brown got his 1 year, and he's the only guy on the outside looking in. But you know what? The Raiders could, as Peter King points this out, the Raiders could void this contract out of this nonsense. Right? I mean, this is a guy that he's got frostbite on his feet and now threatening lawsuits against the league if he gets hurt with the new helmet. He's threatening to retire. This is a bad look for Antonio Brown. Now, the Raiders will keep him. He's a great talent. But somebody in his life needs to say, hey, man, there's some reality here. You need to learn. Or maybe step in and say, my man's not right. He needs to talk to somebody. He's dealing with some issues. If that's the case, then get him the help he needs. But right now, he's really looking like he's on the crazy train. And while we can have fun with that, if he's got a serious mental health issue, I hope he gets some help. But right now, he is really losing it. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Oh, Ron, I have to tell you, I've been waiting all weekend to tell you this. So I got a text from my father on Friday night.
I didn't do it.
Losing his mind over the Mets and their walk-off win against the Nationals.
What are they doing?
The Mets are winning lots and lots and lots of games.
Why are they trying to be relevant?
They just snapped an 8-game win streak with a loss Sunday to Washington that followed a 7-game win streak that was cut short by the Pirates in a game. And all, they've won 15 of 17 games.
Yeah, they're ruining it.
They are.
They're ruining everything. Chances of playing professional baseball.
Exactly. They're ruining everything by winning all these games.
Are doctors now, did they change up their medical staff? I mean, you know, it's like Noah Syndergaard, he's not complaining anymore. Would Matt Harvey come back to these Mets?
What is happening to the Metropolitans? All right, just to give you a perspective, they are 8 games behind Atlanta in the division, but they're like a half a game out of the wild card. So they might make a postseason run, and there's no place for our boy Tim. He needs to be on a Mets team that's going nowhere. It's kind of playing out the season. It's been wild, absolutely wild. They have really, I mean, since, I'm going back in their schedule, since late July, they have been on a tear. They've only lost four times since July 20th. That's a lot of games with a lot of wins.
Only four times?
Only four times since July 20th.
Man, these aren't your grandfather's Mets.
No, not at all. Now they're going to go play Atlanta in a three-game series, and that starts on Tuesday.
And if they do any, if they make any noise against Atlanta, should we
in Atlanta?
Should we start to worry? Should Tebow just retire?
I know Tebow should be like, well, that's it for me.
That's it. He's
done. I ain't
going
anywhere. I ain't going on this team.
Nope.
Like I said, you would do it as a stunt to like steal a little thunder from the Yankees, but you're making enough noise that you could be in the postseason too.
No, no. You can't go down that road.
They're a game behind in the postseason. Right now, Washington and St. Louis are the leaders in the wild card race in the National League. Milwaukee's a half a game back, and the Mets are a full game back, with Philadelphia two games back. So it's a wild chase for the wild card in the National League. But I don't even know how the Mets are doing it, to be honest with you. I mean, they're just getting timely hitting, and Pete Alonso's hitting home runs, and Michael Conforto's coming through with RBIs, and Jeff McNeil's hitting the ball well, and pitching, I guess, has been solid.
Because they really still don't have anybody on their team.
Right?
I mean, they're, you know what? We make fun of the A's all the time because we don't know anybody on the A's. But, I mean, outside Pete Alonso, I don't know how many Mets I can name you.
I mean, Zach Wheeler is 9-6. Steven Matz is 7-7. DeGrom is 7-7. Syndergaard is 8-5. It's not like they have a Justin Verlander on their roster.
No.
Right? It's not like they've got a 50. I mean, Charlie Morton, I think, has 14 wins this season for Tampa Bay. They don't have that one guy that's a stopper. They're just going out there and winning games. Now I know the argument, and I would assume the New York media would point this out, say, well, look, they're beating up on some bad baseball teams. But still, win streaks are hard to, they're just hard to do in baseball, no matter who you're playing.
What do you mean they're beating up? They are a bad baseball team.
That's what I thought when they were seven games below 500 at the last week of July. Give me a break. Weren't they one of the, like when they played Pittsburgh, look into this now, when they played Pittsburgh in July 26, they were 48-55. All right, that's eight games below 500? When they basically started this run, the Pirates aren't very good. Okay, the White Sox aren't very good. Okay, the Pirates, again, they played them in a three-game set. They're not good. Miami's not good. But still, to win, when you win baseball games, a lot of them in one big chunk, you're doing things right. Doesn't matter your competition, because even the worst baseball team will get you every now and then.
They're too
it's
biggest,
hard to sweep a team.
Looking at this, their two biggest studs aren't even available right now. Robinson Cano is on
Robinson Cano's out.
He's on the 10-day IL, and Cespedes is on the 60-day.
God, crazy. I mean, again, Pete Alonso is playing absolutely fantastic, but they've gotten some great hitting. I mean, Jeff McNeil's hitting well. I mean, Michael Conforto's hitting
names
well.
Up.
I know. Still, I can't believe it. So anyway, I mean, I get that text late Friday night. My father's just thrilled. The Mets are winning games because he hears us make fun of the Mets. I think he wanted to point out that we should stop, but I'm not going to stop.
No, we can't. Not until it's all said and done.
Not until it's all said and done. Make the postseason, and I will gladly say that this amazing Mets have turned their season around.
I won't.
You'll still be on the.
I'm holding out for Tebow.
Well.
I can't let go of the dream.
For those of you who've listened to the show a long time, that's Ron and I's dream, is to get Tebow at a Major League Baseball at bat. And the Mets stinking was supposed to facilitate that when he came back from injury. But if the Mets are playing meaningful baseball, that's very hard to do. And we've got about a couple of weeks away before they are going to be playing meaningful baseball, which they are going to be.
Now, this can't be right. I know you. I think you just said it, but it still can't be right. They're literally a game behind the wild card.
Yeah, they're a game out of the wild card.
That's not possible.
It wasn't the case 2 weeks ago. And now they've been on this massive tear.
So disappointed in you, Matt.
I know. Come on, Mets. Go back to being like, what's going on here? Oh,
I'm looking at the teams who they're better than, and this is surprising. I mean, they're better than Philly. They're a game up on Philly.
Yeah.
And didn't Philly just, didn't they sign someone off the
I believe you're right. I think they did sign a mega superstar this offseason.
You know, then
seems to be striking out a lot.
Two teams that are always in the playoff hunt, Arizona and San Francisco.
I mean, come on.
San Diego, this is where I expected the Padres to be.
This is crazy. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, right? I mean, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, whenever it was, Marcus Stroman, right, gets traded.
Yes.
And we're like, what are they doing? Wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to be shipping Noah Syndergaard out and Zach Wheeler out and rebuilding for the future? What are you doing acquiring this pitcher? And remember I pointed out that it was, you know, the inside baseball guys were saying this doesn't make sense because he's a ground ball pitcher and the Mets defense is awful, right? So I'm like, this is crazy. Are you contenders or not? You're not playing with the big boys. Ship your guys and start fresh. And now they're making a run towards the playoffs.
I mean,
they are making a run towards the playoffs.
I know you said they don't have like a Charlie Morton type of guy. I mean, none of them have the record, but they actually, I mean, it's a decent pitching staff.
No, they got, I mean, guys are winning some games. I mean,
these guys would be clear number ones, easily number twos on any team in this league.
They have
Stroman as their third guy up.
Exactly.
What are they thinking?
I know.
I don't know.
Well, that's a problem, right?
To get
Tebow called up, the Mets have to have been just playing it out. And now they're not going to be, whether they make the postseason or not is irrelevant. We're a couple of weeks away from September, and they're going to be playing the least meaningful baseball.
Yeah.
They may fall apart, but they don't have room on their roster for a sideshow.
And not a chance now that Tebow gets called up.
And none. And that means that the chances of him making a Major League Baseball roster are slim to zero because I'm not in his head, but I can't imagine him coming back now. I can't imagine. He's getting married. Just stick with the broadcasting. 32, 33 years old now. End it. It was fun. You made it to AAA. Good. Great. But call it a day.
I mean, his slash line is terrible.
Yeah, he's got
four home runs on the year. He's batting 163.
It really is. It just isn't very good. So, all right, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, at Tony D Radio, as we continue along. All right, coming up next, back to the NFL, a very good thread on Friday from Mike Silver on the Antonio Brown situation. I want to touch on some details on that. Brilliant use of social media. That's next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so I was saying this earlier, Friday, Mike Silver, excellent use of Twitter. You know, Twitter is kind of a weird place because you can get really good stuff, and then you can also swim in some muck that doesn't make you feel good. It can be a really awful place sometimes. But when it's used right, social media can really, really, really hit home. And I got to give Silver credit. He has a 20-tweet thread on Friday on this Antonio Brown situation. So I'm going to give you some of the highlights because, like I said, I think Antonio Brown's story is not only bizarre, but it's troubling, and I kind of wonder what's going on in his head. Even before suffering bizarre injuries to his feet, Antonio Brown alarmed Raiders coaches and teammates by railing against the NFL's enhanced enforcement of helmet regulations and policy change, which will likely force the star receiver to switch to a new model. Brown's vocal resistance to the mandate, both during OTAs and shortly after his arrival in Napa, California for training camp, has contributed to a disconnect with the team that acquired the 7-time Pro Bowl selection via a trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers last March. Now, that was fast, right? I mean, already? This one issue, which is not the Raiders' fault. Let me point this out. This is an NFL mandate. This isn't the Raiders' problem. This is what the NFL's doing. And already Antonio Brown has made it a me against the Raiders thing. That was quick. I'm sure the Steelers are looking at this going, yep, we told you. Continues. According to four sources familiar with Brown's current absence from camp, which dates back to last week, Raiders coaches and players are concerned that the receiver's unhappiness regarding the helmet issue may be playing a role in his decision to stay away from Napa. Brown initially left to seek an additional medical opinion on his frostbitten feet. Before leaving, Brown pushed back for a third time against the league's prohibition of the helmet model he has worn his entire 9-year career. Now, this is where it gets interesting. He continued frustration surrounding the situation has caused a buzz among teammates and coaches, one of whom referred to the saga as, quote, honestly, the most insane thing I've ever heard. I don't know why it's so important to him. It doesn't make any sense. Welcome to the club, because it doesn't make any sense to us either. If it doesn't make any sense to players and coaches, it doesn't make any sense to us either. I mean, come on. The pushback began in May when the receiver was informed by Raiders that the NFL had officially eliminated the 1-year grace period for a certain helmet model, including one worn by Brown, which had fallen short in laboratory testing for head impact severity. First of all, why would you wear a helmet that failed a laboratory test for head impact severity? You had suffered a concussion. Vontaze Burfict knocked you out. Why in the world would you then challenge a rule that would make the helmet and your head safer? Maybe not safe, but safer. It failed the testing and you still want this helmet. This meant that Brown and 31 other players who finished the 2018 season on NFL rosters, including star quarterback Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, would have to switch to approved helmets. Okay. On a conference call with reporters earlier this spring, Jeff Miller, the NFL's exec VP of Health and Safety Initiative, I didn't know that was a job, said that any team found to have known about a player wearing the banned helmet or to have facilitated the use of one will be subject to league discipline. So obviously the Raiders are saying, listen, no, you're not going to wear this helmet. We can't let you wear this helmet. It's against the rules. Each team's equipment manager had been instructed to move all banned helmets. All of this was a way to convey to Brown at the team's training facility a few days before the start of phase 3 of OTAs, the first time players are allowed to wear helmets on field workouts. When he showed up, he requested his old helmet. He was told he'd have to wear an approved model, and he loudly voiced his displeasure, complaining that such quarterbacks such as Brady and Rodgers were not being subject to the same scrutiny. Now, this is where I thought the Raiders were brilliant. This is where I thought the Raiders did a good job here. Okay, so he then said, those guys aren't wearing a helmet. The Raiders found video of Rodgers using the new helmet and then sent it to him. Okay, so now they're saying we're not listening to this. Brady and Rodgers have changed their helmets. You have to change the helmet. In the next couple weeks, Brown tried to take to the field with the old helmet, which he had repainted the colors approximating but not completely mimicking the Raiders' silver and black design. He was told the helmet was not allowed. Once again, he acquiesced and wore the new model. Before Brown arrived at training camp last month, coaches and teammates believed the issue had been resolved. But Brown, who practiced on his tender feet only 2 days before leaving Napa to seek another opinion, tried yet again to sneak his old helmet onto the practice field, ultimately being told the team officials to remove it. Do you see a pattern here? I mean, do you see? Again, this is a brilliant use of social media, Mike Silver, so well done. But are you seeing what's going on here? He is fighting a fight. He knows he can't win, but he's fighting a fight because he wants to fight a fight. Okay? He can't be that dedicated to this piece of equipment that he's willing to do this. Is he really? Now, there's two sides to this, as I was talking about earlier, right? There is a side that says, hey, guys, he needs to get checked out. He needs a friend. He needs somebody to say this isn't right. Something's wrong. He's always causing drama. There's something about this is not funny. There's something about a mental health side of things that's not an issue. Or, and this is more likely, he is just doing this because this is what narcissistic people do. This is what there are certain personalities, traits, and maybe you know this kind of individual where they have to be the center of attention all the time. They have to have something going on in their lives all the time. All their life is filled with drama and they want to be in your thoughts and in your mind all the time. And that's maybe what's going on here. But the Steelers, man, they knew this. They saw this. And for that reason, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Because it really, to be honest with you, in all respects here, the Raiders knew what they were getting into and still got into it anyway because he's an incredible talent. But they're already looking at this going, oh, good Lord. Frostbitten feet and now this. And again, the frostbitten feet I can accept. I mean, we all make mistakes. I mean, listen, you go into these training things or these therapy things and they tell you to do something and you sort of go, oops, I'm sorry, I messed up. Maybe I'm new to it or whatever. And you end up with some consequences. He went into a cryotherapy tube, minus 200 degrees cold. He puts himself in the tube without the right footwear. He gets frostbitten feet. Could happen to anybody. Could happen to anybody. Again, if Aaron Rodgers had did this, we wouldn't be saying anything. If Drew Brees did this, we wouldn't be saying any of this. Heck, if most NFL players this happened to, I don't even think Ezekiel Elliott, who's holding out right now, if this happened to Ezekiel Elliott, we'd probably be like, yeah, no, you know, no, I got it. But Antonio Brown, of course, because it's Antonio Brown's coming in with so much drama. But this is a great thread. But it lays all of this out very, very well.
And it was an easy read.
It was an easy read.
I mean, it was the way. What I like most about it was you could easily follow. And cry. I don't know if they do it on purpose when they add the numbers. Twitter doesn't have that, right?
Where no, I think he does. Yeah, I think he does.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
it was,
really
I mean,
good.
It was set up this timeline you could follow. I mean, because you know when you go to Twitter, sometimes they post what's most popular at that moment. You know, what's happening, you know, like what most people are responding to. So you get them out of order. But this way, you're able to just go scroll right on down and just get every little nugget.
It's really good because, again, he could have made this an article, but he's laying it out, just delivering it. Boom, 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 boom. And, we're kind of this quick digesting culture now with information. And I think he did this really, really well. Towards the end of the thread, he writes, all of this created an aura of mystery and uncertainty surrounding the receiver, whose highly productive tenure with the Steelers ended after a stretch of turmoil and dissatisfaction that dated back to last December when Brown was benched for the season finale. Since joining the Raiders, Brown has frustrated his new bosses by showing up late to numerous meetings and oftentimes appearing unfocused in them. Brown, according to witnesses, typically glanced at screens of several tablets and his smartphone during meetings, distracting himself by engaging in activities which include pursuing his bank accounts, perusing his bank accounts, and liking photos on Instagram. Still, according to one source, and this is how it ends, the meeting thing isn't that bad, but the feet, helmet, and going dark is an issue. Already. And that was quick.
I mean, if I'm the Raiders, okay, the feet, yeah, that's one thing. Accidents happen. The helmet, okay, you know, a lot of players have been complaining about the helmet issue. You know, whether or not anything's going to be done, hopefully nothing is going to be done with it. Because the NFL can't open Pandora's box with this.
Cannot do that.
But it's the going dark scenario that I would, if I'm Raiders front office, that would have me the most worried and almost like, okay, how do we move past it? How do we
me
move
too.
On?
Yep.
Because we cannot have players just, you know, deciding not to want to talk to anybody.
Exactly. No, I completely agree. You have to get a hold of this. You really do. But it's amazing. But go back to the helmet for a second. I think you said it best. The NFL can't let this happen. Going back to what Michael Silver wrote, the fact that his helmet failed the test, the NFL now cannot allow a player with a failed test in terms of their own safety standards to let that helmet. I don't care what he says in the meeting. He cannot use that helmet in games or practices, given that what they know about it is that it failed the test.
And you know he's going to try because he's already tried. He's already tried to, what, he faked a painting his helmet and he painted,
I know. God,
I don't think he painted
silly.
It the right way, obviously.
That doesn't look like a silver and black. It's more like gray and charcoal. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I get the wrong coat from Bear?
That's,
or Glidden? Did they give me the wrong coat?
I mean, he is going above and beyond, and that's I'm loving this. I'm loving this drama. This you know, this is what makes the preseason fun.
By the way, let me just make this clear. I'm sure he did not realize this. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did and just couldn't find it, whatever. But these NFL teams, the colors that they use, they're like a certain... It's like anytime you paint a house, right? There's a certain pigment, right? Like, there's an exact
same with cars.
Code, right? Yeah. Like, you can't just go buy a can of silver paint and black paint and just assume it's the same. Black, maybe, but, like, there's a whole bunch of different levels of silver, and the Raiders have this very specific one, so I'm sure he totally got it wrong. All right, the good, the bad, the dumb, coming up next at SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good. The bad and the dumb for a Monday. We had all weekend to come up with some good ones. So what is the good for today?
The good of the day, you know what? Sometimes athletes struggle, and then they got to rally, right?
Right.
That's the definition of an athlete. Brewers starting pitcher Adrian Houser had himself a Saturday, one of these type Saturdays when he had to rally. In the top of the first inning, he's a starting pitcher. He ends up throwing up on the mound.
Really?
Throwing up behind the mound, yeah. He was a little dribbler, came back up to him as he was pitching, went down, ended up kicking the ball. The guy ended up getting safe at first because he never even was able to get the ball and make the throw. But yeah. He started holding his stomach. He wasn't feeling that well. So he walks behind the mound in between, you know, the pitching mound and second base and gets down to, you know, the squats down and then just starts blowing chunks right there on the field.
Oh, God. Do they have to clean that up? How does that work?
I don't know. I didn't get to see that part of it. You know, do they just have guys who come around and just, like, you know, smush it down into the ground? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a terrible job for a grounds crew. But when I say
it is
that sometimes an athlete, even the most adverse conditions, you got to rally. Here's his stat line. He ended up pitching six innings, gave up a run, had 10 strikeouts, gets the W.
All right. So what do you think it was possible? He just had that thing he got to get rid of.
Maybe.
Right? Just like, you know how it is?
You look at him. Wait, he's sitting there holding his stomach. He's got that hand over his stomach, and you just see his face like he's not feeling good at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, the coaches are out there, you know, making sure he's okay. They gave him some water and went back out there and threw.
Now, I can remember many times having something, you know, sick and then going in and kind of going to the bathroom and, you know, vomiting it up, and then my wife would go, "How you feeling?" And I went, "Great, much better." Right? Maybe that was the case where he just was like, "Oh, thank God."
In college, there is a term for it too, because a lot of college, you know, guys. I'm going to throw girls in there too, but I like to think women don't do this as much.
Right?
But a lot of college men, you know, they puke and rally.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
After a night of binge drinking.
Yeah, that's right.
To keep the party going.
That is right.
Sometimes you just got to get rid of it all.
So it's possible that he just went, ooh, thank God.
I mean, that's impressive. I mean, he could have easily just, you know, taken himself out of the game. He could have gone out there and just been terrible because he's not feeling well. But no, he rallied for six innings, only gave up a run, and got 10 strikeouts. 10 strikeouts.
That is amazing because I have you know, and didn't want to do anything. I couldn't do it. You know, like, I feel great, but it's not like I was going to go out there and run a marathon or anything silly like that.
There's many times when that happens, you just want to sit back, relax, and not do anything. You just want to curl up. You want to curl up into a ball and in your bed and just binge watch anything.
That's right. That's right. So, all right. Well, that's all right. What is the bad?
The bad, this is up your alley.
Okay.
The PGA is missing a really, really golden opportunity right now, and that is to capitalize on the drama happening with Bryce DeChambeau.
I saw this, and I was so excited you brought this up because Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau almost kind of got out of it.
Well, okay. The backstory. Brooks Koepka famously complained about DeChambeau's time of play, I guess.
Pace of play.
Because he takes a long time between shots.
Yes, he does.
There's one video that a guy posted. He's like, yeah, this is him trying to hit like a 70-yard wedge shot, and it took him 3 minutes before he hit it. He said, I would have shown
crazy.
The entire video, but Twitter won't allow videos that long. Something stupid.
Right.
Like that. But anyway, so, I mean, Brooks Koepka complained about it, saying, I don't know why it takes anyone that long, because Brooks Koepka, we all know, didn't play golf in college. He just picked up a club this year.
Yeah, he just basically started playing the game.
he found his grandfather's clubs and like, these look fun. I'm going to go smack this around.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau, actually, another time he took 3 minutes or close to 3 minutes to hit an 8-foot putt.
Yeah.
Really drove everybody crazy.
There is, you know, validity to what Brooks Koepka is saying.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, sometimes you want to make sure you get everything just right, all the variables just right. But, I mean, 3 minutes on an 8-foot putt, that's going to drive anyone. That's going to drive the announcers crazy because
it's crazy.
He can't talk like this the entire time for 3 minutes.
Let's go back to Jim Nance in the 18th tower because I'll let you know when we're ready.
I mean, one of these times they need to just cut to break.
Yeah.
So anyways, cut to this weekend, Bryce DeChambeau found Brooks Koepka's caddy, went up to him and said, hey, you tell your boss that if he has anything to say about my slow play, to say it to my face.
Okay, wait a minute. Rewind. I heard this part. So he told the caddy to say, okay, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
He went to the caddy to say, if he has anything to say to me, say it to my face. But he said it to the caddy rather than to Brooks Koepka.
Yep.
Well done, Bryson. Well done. So, this is great.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that.
So I'm sure Brooks Koepka was like, where is he?
He went right up to him.
Yeah, where is he?
And I don't know. I've been scrolling. They don't really have like that conversation. It's like that was behind closed doors, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the PGA is missing a golden opportunity. You want to make your sport interesting.
Very much so. This is very NASCAR-ish, right?
I mean, how much time did we spend today on Antonio Brown complaining about a helmet?
Right.
This would trump that story in a second.
Does Brooks Koepka, does he pull a Patrick Waugh and go, I can't hear you, Bryson, with my two U.S. Open trophies in my ears? Because you could do that. Or my PGA championships in my ears. That would have been a good line. No, that's excellent. That's very true.
And now apparently, I guess they're taking shots on Twitter with each other.
Oh, goodness gracious. Why? Don't go on Twitter to fight each other. Fight each other in real life.
Yes.
Just
maybe, you know what, for Thanksgiving, instead of Tiger Phil, maybe have these two.
Yeah, these two.
This is great. Do you have 8 hours to kill on Thanksgiving Day, though, to watch golf?
We don't have a good golf animosity, right? They're all like pals. We need some people like, let's go. Let's get it out. Let's have it out. Let's duke it out a little bit. Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, if you don't know who he is, he's a young golfer. And when his claimed fame, besides he does win tournaments, so he hasn't won a major yet, but he has won tournaments. His shtick, if you will, and I use that lightly because it's basically his way of playing, is that he's very scientific. He's like a physics major. He went to SMU. He claims that the golf clubs, if you see a set of golf clubs, you're not familiar with golf, the shafts on irons are all, they're longer as the club is, like 3 iron is longer than the 4 iron, which is longer than the 5 iron.
Right.
So the club's length, the club shaft lengths are longer with the lower number all the way to pitching wedge. And the pitching wedge is the shortest. He has determined through some massive scientific evaluation that he can play golf better if all of the shafts and all of his clubs are exactly the same. So he has designed these clubs exactly the same. And he also has a kind of not an unorthodox swing, but a different swing that also maximizes that. So he's very scientific. There is a commercial for Bridgestone golf balls that Tiger Woods is in which Bryson DeChambeau, oh no, TaylorMade, oh Bridgestone, one of the, whatever Tiger's playing, that he's like breaking down the science of the golf ball and Tiger's like, like kind of pretending like he gets it, but he doesn't get it. Because that's how crazy scientific Bryson is. And that's one of the reasons why I think he gets bogged down in slow play. And Koepka is the exact opposite. I don't think Brooks Koepka cares at all about the science of a golf ball.
No.
I think Brooks Koepka is like, I hit it and it goes where I want it to. And that's all I care about. So, you know, good luck figuring out wind velocity and thermodynamics through the humidity or whatever it is you're talking about.
We all know Koepka just literally, he walks up to the ball and he just turns his caddy. That flag, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no
where
problem.
Am I going?
I'll head it to
you're
that
going
one.
Over there and it's this many distance. Go. And he just goes, all right,
I mean,
fine.
He would use his driver on every shot if he was allowed to.
No kidding. No kidding.
That's just who he is.
If I'm the PGA Tour, I pump this up a little bit. NASCAR used to do this. They used to pump up the rivalries.
Yes, they used to pop up the fights and then have
cameras. They pretend like they didn't.
Them.
Yeah, they pretend like they didn't. Like, oh no, we got to squash this. But in reality, they were really they really loved it when like Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Bodine went at each other.
Why else are we watching a camera of Jeff Gordon the entire time amongst all other NASCAR guys?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Camera crew just following him around. Tony Stewart. They always followed him around just in case. We didn't know
just
who he was going to go off of.
That's right.
Could have been anybody.
All right. What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is not really dumb. Okay? I have to preface it that way. Every once in a while, we're given a news interview, something from the news that has to be highlighted, has to be shared. You know, think back to the Alabama Leprechaun. Got a great lot of sound bites from that.
That's right.
I can't remember what the interview was about, but the woman saying, "I ain't got time for that."
Yeah.
You know, we've highlighted these things. Well, there was another one. We stumbled across another one. This comes from West Virginia. And this is a man who saw, there was a storm that happened a few months ago. And a tree branch, a big limb, fell off this tree and landed on someone's car and cracked their windshield.
Uh-oh.
Sad. So they decided to cut down said tree. And they happened over this weekend. The tree, unfortunately, fell on top of a car.
So the branch fell on the car, and then they decided
Well, no, this was a different car. The branch, like a couple months ago, the branch fell off. It fell onto a truck, cracked the windshield.
And they figured, this tree is old. It's losing its branches.
Right.
It's time for it to go.
Another storm comes by. This could, you know, we're talking life-threatening.
So they break out the chainsaws.
Break out the chainsaw. They're cutting down this huge tree. You know, doing it the right way. They hired a crew where they cut off the top and then just, you know, worked their way down. Guys, I guess it came down to the final stretch. They didn't have it going the right way. And it literally, I mean, just destroyed the back end of this car.
Oh, God.
And then, we'll let the eyewitness tell you.
Okay.
The witness says he watched in disbelief Monday as the tree was cut down and landed right onto a parked vehicle, totaling it. We're told that car belongs to a Marshall student. You can imagine how upset she had to be when she came outside and saw her car looking like this. Here's a little of what that witness had to say.
It sounded like a beer can getting flattened. It just was crunch. It was, I hate to say it, it was kind of cool. You know, I mean, what guy doesn't like, you know, destruction? Yeah, you know, that's why we go to demolition derbies. But hey, you know, bottom line, that's that poor girl's new car, and she can't get to school now.
That is the best. Oh, my God. She can't get to school now. That is great. That is great. And he's just so matter-of-fact about it, too. Like, man, it was kind of cool. We all liked the destruction. Sounded like a beer can, and she can't get to school. That is awesome. That is awesome. Do we have a name for this guy? Or is he just a witness?
I'm just going to call him West Virginia Man.
West Virginia Man. West Virginia Man is radio gold. That is wonderful. God, that is great.
Bottom line, that's that poor girl's new car, and she can't get to school now.
It's not really dumb, because I can't say it's dumb, but it fits in this category just because every once in a while we need to highlight these guys.
I know, man.
We need to go more viral than it is, and this guy has the potential of going extremely viral.
Let me just make this clear. I have seen many, many interviews with many, many witnesses in the news of my lifetime, and very few people nail it, right? Nail it. This guy nailed it. You get most people they get a little nervous. They kind of just say something quickly, and then this guy sounded like, it was almost like, I know they're going to talk to me, and when they do, this is what I'm just going to say this. That's great. That is great. That's awesome. Was that in the Huntington, West Virginia area? Because you said Marshall.
Yes,
that's pretty good. That's a good area. That's a nice area, West Virginia. That's great. Good for them. I liked what you said though, that they the tree, like, they just cutting it down, and then how do you lose track of where it's going to go? Like, you're cutting it. Aren't you forcing the tree to whatever direction you want it to go down? It's not like you're cutting it and going, well, it could go left, could go right, could go backwards. I don't know. Aren't you kind of, as you're cutting it, you're kind of saying it's going this way?
I mean, yeah, but you see it all the time, though. Like, you see America's Funniest Home Videos or something. Like, but usually it's amateurs. An actual crew that's doing this, you would think that they would know.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it's sometimes they're cutting it and all of a sudden a splinter breaks off and, all of a sudden goes the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. But
that is very good. That's a good bite. All right, it's yes, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver with two N's. We got some tweets to get to when we get back on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, at Tony D Radio on Twitter, at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's. Robert Brown was a virtually unknown while attending Central Michigan University. Are you doing Lions feature this week? We are doing the NFC North this week. We're doing Bears tomorrow, and then I'm assuming we're doing Lions because you like it alphabetically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because I'm not trying to, you know, say who's better than who.
Right. We don't
so
want to.
We just go alphabetically. It makes it easier. Sometimes exactly. It doesn't work out that way because certain guys can appear on certain days. But
well, some magazines do that too, right? When you get like those preview magazines, they go alphabetically. But then some of them, like, they do it the way they predict the order of finish. So the Patriots are first.
We're not predicting yet.
Nope. So it should be. So, Robert, to answer your question, it should be Bears tomorrow, Lions Wednesday. And then, let's see,
Green Bay.
Packers, and then Minnesota.
Yep.
Why did it take me so long to figure out whether or not G comes before M? Is it because it's too early? I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe my brain's freezing. Maybe I'm just still caught up with West Virginia Man that I just
drew
a blank.
Maybe you need to go back to school now.
Right.